Welcome to the November Phone Bridge Workshop, Getting Through the Holidays Abstinently. My name is Jan D. I'm a compulsive eater, and I'll be the moderator for our workshop today. This workshop is being recorded, so that we ask that no one give any phone numbers or contact information until the recording has stopped at the end, and then we'll have time for that. And also, due to the nature of the topic, we ask that no one in providing, in speaking, offer any specific foods. We ask that those not be mentioned. Okay. Each speaker will offer her experience, strength, and hope for 15 minutes. And Belinda is our timer this morning, and she will give each speaker a 5-minute warning when they have 5 minutes left, and then 1 minute when you have 1 minute left. And I'd like to thank all our speakers today. Our first speaker, after all the speakers share their experience, strength, and hope, we will have some time for questions and answers, and also some 3-minute time shares at the end, and we'll address that at the time. Okay, and I just wanted to mention the reference available for all the information on this workshop today is available in our See How book, Sponsoring in Compulsive Eaters Anonymous, and that is on Chapter 11. So, okay, and our first speaker this morning is Suzanne E. And Suzanne, would you like to take it away?
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I'm Suzanne. I'm a grateful compulsive eater, and I've been in these rooms 16 years and 7 months, I believe, continuous abstinence. And I chose the topic of preparation. If we fail to prepare, we're preparing to fail. And that's just not about the food. And when I came into the program, my sponsor made it very clear. Holidays are holidays, but for us, it's just another day. And, you know, you have to look at it that way. Whether it's my birthday, my abstinent birthday, any holiday that I celebrate, it's another day. Having said that, no matter what your religious, spiritual background is, sometimes end of the year, holidays, whatever it is, can be trying because there is a lot of food involved and there are a lot of family relationships, dynamics thrown into the mix, and a lot of stress can be involved. And it's like it could be, if we're not careful, a perfect storm. So this is what I wanted to talk about, because I have experienced going to places. I've experienced doing my own big events. I've had a few. And also, you know, keeping it simple and keeping it not a big deal, because sometimes, some people, if you make it a big deal, it's not a problem. And some people would blow their top. What do you mean? You can't do this. You can't do that. I've learned to keep it simple and take care of myself and be discreet, depending upon the situation. The first big event that I did was around this holiday, Thanksgiving, and I prepared all the food myself. There were, let's see, 5 of us, and it was 90% abstinent. I prepared 2 things that were not for those who were not abstinent, but everything else was something we could eat, and the people that came did not know it, nor did they care. It was good and it was fine, and I have to say I had a little bit of abstinence at that time. It was a bit stressful for me because my mom was alive and she said, you have to do this, you have to do that, and she was unable to help me. But what saved me from really going over the edge is I made the outreach calls and asked people to share their experience, strength, and hope on how to get through it. And, you know, workshops are, you know, I'm sharing my experience, strength, and hope, but it's also a how-to. You know, I'd like you to take away bullet points, if you will. You know, oh, I could do this, I could do that. So That's what I did. First thing I learned was, okay, make those outreach calls. I called my sponsor a second time because I needed to ask her about how do I handle a situation, and thankfully she was available, and I got through it. I had a horrible headache. I think because at that time I was still trying to be perfect, and I missed one thing, being the perfect hostess, and I think I was on the verge of having a migraine, which I don't suffer from, but because I did the outreach call, I was able to relax, breathe, separate myself from my mom for a little bit, and just have that contact with my higher power and say, okay, this, you know, I'm turning it over to you, and I'm not perfect, and you know, no one's going to notice. My mom's parents can be sometimes more noticed, more critical. And I don't mean that in a bad sense, but they might notice things that maybe other people probably won't notice. So I went back and I said, Mom, you know what? It's going to be a really good Thanksgiving, and if I had a bigger house and more help, I would have remembered whatever it was. And she said, you know what? You're right. I'm sorry. I didn't expect that. So I got through that, and that was fine. I've also experienced going to big events. The first one was I went to a holiday party for my husband's place of work. I've never met any of these people, so they're wanting to meet the woman and his wife, and I called ahead to the restaurant asking what will be served, and that's always good. You know, I learned that early on in my program. My mom actually used to call the restaurant, and this was before a lot of people had internet, maybe, you know, at work, and they would mail me the menu, then my mother would read the menu to me. And then I would call and say, can this item be prepared such and such? Can I ask to be modified? And most of the time it was yes. And sometimes if it couldn't, they would tell me no, but the other thing, maybe I'd ask about two or three things. This one can be modified. So by the time I got to the restaurant, I didn't make a big deal out of anything. I already knew what I was going to order, and it could be modified. I kept it simple, and I was discreet, and it worked beautifully. So that's what I did for this holiday party. I called ahead, found out there were a lot of things I could eat. But when it came time to go to the buffet table, one of my husband's coworkers, he was my boyfriend at the time, said, I'll make you up a plate. And he started to run away. And I'm blind. And I got up and grabbed him. And I said, no, I'd like to go. I said, no, this will be easier. And I said, no. I said, I'd like to go. I need to go. And my husband said, you know what, she's an adult. Let her go. And so I went with him, and I said, I need this, I need that. And he said to me, I'm glad that you insisted on going, because I would not have given you any of this. I would have given you X, Y, and Z. And he's like, wow. And I said, yeah, I may be blind, but I still, you know, I have an opinion, and I know what I need. So I learned to speak up for myself in a nice way. I don't have to make a big fuss. I don't have to cry about it. I can just say, this is what I need, and thank you. So that I got through that, and so there's that. There have been other family situations where I have been lectured. However, I was prepared for this, and I listened, and then I said, you know, I hear you. You might be right, but this is what's working for me today. And the person's like, oh. Never did it again. Never did it again. So I have to be prepared for the family dynamic. And a lot of times it has nothing to do about the food. It's about relationships, and some of us have baggage, and we have to deal with it. And one Thanksgiving, my husband, my then boyfriend, went to my now brother-in-law's house in another city because my mother-in-law and stepfather-in-law were going to be visiting, and it kind of all worked out. It was probably the worst Thanksgiving I'd had, but it had nothing to do about the food. The consequences after, it wasn't the day of so much, it was the consequences after. But for me, it was fine. It was just the family dynamic, a lot was going on. But what I was prepared. I spoke to my sponsor about it. I spoke to other people about it. And so when this issue came up, I stayed quiet. I didn't have to involve myself. And so I was fine. I was fine. And the consequences later had nothing to do with so much the gathering. It had to do with other things It was the last Thanksgiving with my mom, and I should have been with my mom, but we didn't know that. And so there were consequences for that. But it has. But I behaved myself. I stayed quiet. I didn't, you know, throw myself into the mix. I could have had an opinion, and I could have involved myself. But this program has taught me to stay quiet when sometimes it's not my business. Not my business, and I, you know, people need to speak up for themselves, and if they can't, if they're being bullied, then that's a different issue, but because I don't like bullies. I've been bullied my life, and so I don't like it. But if they can't speak up for themselves and it's okay, then they need to handle it. I don't. So that worked out for me. It worked out well, that lesson. I have been to weddings where I could not get a hold of the person and had an idea that was probably abstinent, but didn't know. And so a friend of mine in my program actually drove me to the wedding because it was far. And then the ceremony was going to be far from the banquet, very far, like 20 miles. So we prepared and we took our food. We took our own food. And it gave me peace of mind that I wasn't going for the food. I was going to be, okay, this is what my sponsor is reminding me, that I go, what am I going for? Am I going to eat? I could stay home and eat. Or am I going to be part of and celebrate in whatever it is, whether it's a wedding, birthday, a holiday, whatever it is, why are the reasons I'm going? Well, I was going to see my friend get married. So the food was secondary, but my abstinence is always first. I don't know if I'm making sense, but I hope you all get that. So I took my food so I could be part of the celebration. And as it turned out, they did have a lot of abstinent food. I ate some of my own food and ate some of their food because their food was a little more, it just worked out better that way. And it was great. I was able to not worry about it. And that's what I prepared. The other thing I'd like to say is the family dynamic, the emotions, the holidays, whatever they are. Do I have to be right, or do I want peace? It's peace over
power. 5 minutes, Suzanne.
Thank you so much. It's peace over power. If I'm prepared with my food, then I'm going to have peace. If I'm prepared that there might be family dynamics or whatever, I'm going to have peace. The other thing I've learned is if I'm going someplace, I can ask the hostess or host, what are you serving? And sometimes it may be uncomfortable to say, I'm in a program. So you could say, I have food allergies, which in my case, I do have some really severe issues. Other than just the, you know, that I'm a compulsive eater. So I can ask, what are you serving? And then I can say, can I bring a dish? And they might say no, but I say, look, I'm, I have a food plan because I have allergies. I've learned I can bring my own food. If I know that there's not going to be anything, and I'll ask, can that be plated in the kitchen so it's more discreet? And that worked out really well. No one knew. No one cared. And I didn't have to make a deal about it at the table. It was all discussed beforehand. So remember, prepare, ask. You can ask. I had a sponsee that never wanted to ask because she didn't want to be a bother. And you know, I just have to remember, it's my program and my abstinence and my help. This disease that I have has three parts to it, emotional, spiritual, and physical. And I have to take care of all three of those needs, right? I prepare ahead, I ask, and I am prepared. If I need to excuse myself, and I've done this, and go to the bathroom and make a phone call, I do it. If I'm staying with people or relatives, I go outside and go for a walk. You know, I've had a sponsor called me from the bathroom of her relative's house crying. No one knew. Washed her face, called me up, and was able to go back and have a great time. So these are the things that I do. I work the seven tools of the program, and just because if you go into the holiday or the celebration of, I don't have time to do all these things, it could be a setup. Take the time. I know that I'm worth it. We're all worth it. It is worth to take the time, whether we're busy and we have relatives in, take that time for yourself. If you have to get up an extra half an hour ahead of time to do all these things, it is well worth it because the payout, you'll see, you'll get so much more by taking that extra time than if you don't. You're rushed, and then you're going to like, what happened? Well, the slip happens before the slip. So I do take the time, and I do call ahead. I do call my sponsor. I make my outreach calls. I take that time for me, whether I'm at someone's house or I'm going someplace or I'm having people here. I've had big celebrations in my house of 25 people where I cooked all the food. I did it in part acts. I did a little 2 days before. I did most of it the day before. So the day of, I had very little prep time, and it was abstinent. Someone brought something that wasn't abstinent for that celebration, but I have to put my abstinence first. And if that means by cooking, you know, 90% abstinent food, it can be done. And nobody knew it. It was great. Everybody loved it. And with 25 people in the mix, there are a lot of personalities. They all had a great time, and I've had a couple of those. And it is possible. If you have doubts, you call people. What is your experience about having a big get-together? How do you deal with the food? How do you deal with people bringing food? Well, if people bring food that we don't eat, make sure they go home with it, or make sure you give it to someone else that does, if that's going to be an issue for you. I know that there was one thing we kept for my husband. There was something else we said, please take it home. These are the things you can do. It doesn't take that much more time. We do have a program to live life, and this is life on life's terms, that there will be moments that might be more stressful. But because I do work this program and all these things that I do, I'm able to get through these things. I guess my first Thanksgiving was only 5 people, and the 2 other events were 25 people.
1 minute.
Thank you. And I was able to get through these last 2 big events that I hosted. No headaches, no worries, no stress. I was able to sit down and enjoy my meal and enjoy the company and not get caught up into, oh, I used to have something around this time of year, and now I can't have it. And I remember my mother used to make this. It's not about the food. It's about the company and the memories that we make at our table or someone else's table, and be present. And if we're into the food, we can't be present. Keep it simple. Be discreet. Call ahead. Be prepared to call people in the bathroom if you have to, and remember what the holiday or the get-together is about. It's not about the food. The food is just a side issue. And thank you for letting me share. And I can't stay on for questions, but if anybody wants to call me, Jan can give my phone number out. Thank you, Jan, so much. I'm going to mute and listen to the next person. Happy holidays, everybody, whatever you celebrate.
Thank you so much, Suzanne. Thank you. And our next speaker is Judy Kay.
Thank you so much, Jan and Suzanne. What a great share. I'm Judy Kay, grateful compulsive eater, and I love this topic, how to stay abstinent during the holidays. For my theme in my section, I'm going to talk about connection to higher power versus separation. So I think the holiday is all about practicing what we do every single day, which is the repetition of our discipline. We always say one day at a time, and also staying connected to higher power, because for me, the strength always comes from that place, the faith. And sometimes with society, with our families, with all the pulls, it's easy to get disconnected. Everyone is saying it's about the food, and then there's always things going on in the family. And to stay detached with loving concern, my idea is to always meditate, pray, and stay connected. And I'm going to read you something from the Big Book that I just love. It's on page 190, and this is the quote on the first paragraph. I have gone to this higher power, and I have told him that I'm willing to put his world first, above everything. I have already done it. And I'm willing to do it again here in the presence of you, or I'm willing to say it any place, anywhere in the world from now on, and not be ashamed of it. And that inner confidence in a higher power, that inner surrender, is what gives me the strength to be abstinent no matter what. No matter what holiday, no matter what day it is, it's that inner connection. But what's great about our program is the daily repetition. So every single day, I call my sponsor, I commit my food, I do my question, I listen to my sponsees, I try to get on a phone bridge meeting or a live meeting every day if I can. I pray and I meditate and I do a 10th step at night. And that every day, that repetition becomes a habit. So I need to continue that. And when the holidays come, I do the same thing. That gives me the strength to get through it, because the holidays can be chaotic. There's so many different parties going on, and sometimes things get a little haywire or I stay up too late at night. But I always get up and have the same routine. And that is a great inner security. The other thing I want to talk about is I've gone to places and I've had Thanksgiving at my house. In either way, I always try to have a plate weighed and measured with my abstinent food before everyone sits down. So when I've had it at my house, it's easy. I weigh and measure. I put the plate in the refrigerator. I put Reynolds wrap on it. And then I can concentrate on service to others. So when the company comes, I serve the food. I fill myself with gratitude. I'm able to listen and love. And then after I serve the company, I take my abstinent plate of food. I usually put it in the microwave, and I'm able to eat it. I know that food on that plate is all I eat. It makes it so black and white. Because sometimes you'll be serving when I'm the hostess and someone will say, oh, can I have this? Can I have that? You know, so I'll get up, leave my plate, but then I come back to my plate and I know that's the weighed and measured food. There are no other options. And it feels very secure and safe. The other thing, and I think Suzanne hit on this, is to concentrate on the people, not the food. So if I'm sitting at the table and some negative thoughts come in or some of that victim mentality, I just say a prayer to God. God, help me be of service to the people here. And I'll turn to my right or I turn to my left at the table and I'll just say to the person, how are you doing? And then just listen. And maybe put in some words of hope or love. Some family members, they don't want to hear the positive stuff. So just listening and knowing that I'm being of service. That has really helped me, not only in Thanksgiving, but in so many instances of times when people are eating foods that I can't eat. If I'm into that thought of service, how do I serve you, God? How do I help? And getting out of my ego, out of myself, that helps so much. Also, I try to bump up my program during the holidays, making more outreach calls, going to more meetings, maybe reading more literature if I'm going through a rough spot. Whatever it is you can do to bump up your program and to increase your spiritual connection. I'm going to read something else from Came to Believe. It's on page 99. And I love this. This is also about connecting to God. In my present life, from day to day, I attempt to improve my understanding of God by responding to Him in three basic ways. By moving outwards into positive action, by exercising my ability to choose positive thoughts, and by allowing myself to be drawn inward to positive being. I find the meditation and prayer is definitely the way to be drawn inwards. And gratitude is so helpful. Gratitude list of all the things that I can be grateful for. Today, as I'm getting older, I'm grateful that I still have family members alive. And they may have dysfunction, as I have dysfunction. There may be problems, but they're part of my bloodline. And I'm grateful for them. And I work on accepting them exactly as they are. And that can be a challenge. But higher power, my sponsor always tells me, you can't do anything without your higher power. So if I can't accept something, I just turn to my higher power. And I ask for that wonderful attitude of gratitude, appreciation. The saying that we have is so powerful, one day at a time. As the preparation for the holiday gets closer, and when I've had it at my house, I have to realize I can do a certain amount, and to break it up into the days, make sure that I'm getting the we can say a category, but getting the vegetables that I love, because I don't want to feel deprived. So if I make some special things that I don't usually take the time to make, abstinent things, that helps me feel good, especially on the day of. And there were some wonderful abstinent recipes in different vegetable categories that we can ask each other, you know, just on outreach calls. Oh, what do you like to make? And then I feel special when I'm at the table. And the other thing is when it's dessert time at the Thanksgiving table, that's the time I sometimes excuse myself and go to the bathroom and pause and pray and ask God, keep me abstinent no matter what. And then when I return to the table, I usually have my cup of coffee or tea or something that I have while everyone else is eating dessert. But the pausing and the asking for strength is what really gets me through it. The other thing I want to talk about is healthy boundaries. I know today who I am. I am a compulsive eater. I'm different from other people. I can look around at the table. There's some people that can have one of an item that I would have to have the whole package of. And just acknowledging I am different from other people, today, thank God, I have a program of recovery that tells me what to do. It helps me feel good rather than feeling bad about it. I found a solution. And I can
5 minutes, Judy.
Oh, thank you, Belinda. I can say no to people. If people don't understand the spiritual aspect of the program, I just tell them I have allergies. I'm allergic to sugar. I'm allergic to flour. And then if someone puts on a guilt trip, there are some people who will bring things. They say, oh, I made this just for you. Not so much today because I've been doing this for over 17 years. But in the beginning, I had someone corner me and say, I feel really bad. I spent time cooking this, and I made it just for you, and it was something I couldn't eat. And so I was able to say to her, I'm really sorry, but I'm sure you don't want me to get sick, and I'm allergic to these substances. But thank you for taking the time to make them. There are some people that aren't in the program, and they equate making those special things as a way of giving love. My dad used to call the things we can eat soul food. So they're not soul food for me. They're poison for me. And that's another visual that I like to have. If I see a bag of something that, you know, even the thought, oh, I wish I could have it, I just picture a skull on there with two X's, poison. because I know if those substances go in my body, they're poison for me. And not only poison physically, but for me to disconnect from my higher power or to lose the joy of the spiritual program, the beauty of connecting to our fellowship and the wonderful attributes of my higher power that I feel today, appreciation, love, joy, that feeling inside of peace and contentment. I know clearly I can lose every one of those qualities by just one compulsive bite. It's really dangerous for me. And having that awareness, knowing that, it's easy to say no to other people. Prayer and the joy and gratitude of the holidays have to be the most important thing to me. People get sick, there are problems. As I get older, there are even more problems. But turning again to the joy of being alive and having gratitude. I feel very fortunate because I moved to a city now where people who don't have their families here, there's a potluck for Thanksgiving where we all eat abstinent food, and there's a gratitude meeting on Thursday morning where we can share our gratitudes, and that's beautiful. For Phonebridge, we have the marathon all day long of Phonebridge meetings. And that's another thing that I try to do in the morning if I'm having company and preparing, just to listen or share on one of the meetings in the morning and to just gather whatever strength I can within with my higher power, so there's no food, like we say, there's no food that feels as good as abstinence feels. This is such a beautiful program. It's given me the most wonderful way of living one day at a time. And there is no holiday that's important enough to break that pattern. Really, Thanksgiving is just another holiday. Christmas is just another holiday, another day that I get to practice my program 24 hours a day. And thanks for letting me share today. I wish you all love and joy, and don't forget to stay abstinent no matter what. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Judy Kay, for your share, for your experience, strength, and hope. Okay, our next speaker is Elaine S.
Thank you, Jan, and thank you, Suzanne and Judy Kay, for such inspiring words. I will give you a window on my holiday. It's not one day. It's going to be five. Because I am flying to the East Coast, and on Thursday, my middle son will be hosting. But there's a lot for me between now and then. One of the first things, of course, is preparation. But I'll talk about that as I go along. But one of the things for me in traveling from the West Coast to the East Coast is switching time zones. Now, it's great when I go from Pacific time to Eastern time because it's such a short time between my last meal and dinner, because my sponsor says, when you travel, get accustomed to the place to which you are going. But then, at the turnaround, I have to figure out how to get back from East Coast time to Pacific time. So it's one of the things that I have to deal with. Another thing that I have to deal with, when I fly, I find because I am not active, I have a lot of food thoughts. One time I just did a tally of the number of food thoughts that I had on the airplane. But it is what it is, and I know it's coming. So I think about that. And then I get around to preparing food. And for me, I know that I'll have one meal on the airplane, that's for sure. But the weather can do some weird things. and there can be delays. And so I usually, on an airplane, when I'm traveling, I will have more than one meal. And when I arrive, and that'll be Tuesday night, I don't know what the dinner plans are going to be. And so there's a lot of uncertainty. And I have to say, one of the things that for me, and I have, thank you, higher power, 6 years of abstinence, but one of the things for me is I recognize I have fear around this. Now, maybe it's a healthy fear because it keeps me on my toes, but it also ruffles my emotional sobriety. So I just have to be aware of it. I also, in my preparation, I have to have a protein for the next morning because, again, I don't know when I arrive. I don't know when I'm going to get to go shopping. And so there is a lot of uncertainty around this. So then there comes Wednesday, and hopefully I will have found a place to do my writing and a place to make my calls, because the other thing that happens travel is I am much more connected to my husband than I usually am. We both have the thing that we do, and I get up really early on Pacific time, so I get a lot of things done while he's still sleeping, but that is not the case when we travel. So I'll have to find some private places. Now, you may get an outreach call for me from a bathroom or the gym at the hotel, but in any case. So that's another aspect of traveling, just negotiating my time with my husband. So hopefully the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, I will have a chance to shop in the morning, and then we're meeting somebody for lunch. And I checked already. In fact, my husband was very sweet. He said, "Do you want to have lunch?" And he showed me the place that was closest to what we were doing, and I looked at the menu, and I thought, I could do this. And so I will be able to enjoy this time with the other person. And in fact, the person we're going to see on Wednesday is somebody who was at our wedding and who's now declining with Alzheimer's. And so, again, the notion of being present, not only for him, but for his wife, and not being concerned with me, but being present for them. But part of that comes from being secure around the food, and then I have the bandwidth to be able to be present for other things. And then on Wednesday, hopefully, I hope, when we get back from that visit, I may be able to meet one of my Sea House fellows, and we might get together. And so I'm looking forward to that possibility, which will be a wonderful. I mean, anytime I get to meet a Sea House fellow, it's wonderful. This would be terrific. So then finally we come to the pivotal day, Thursday. Now, this could be an unstructured day, and it could be that we just hang out at my son's house, but that's really not healthy for me. And luckily, the city I'm going to, it has museums that are open on that day. And so I hope that I will get to run around and be doing a lot of other things besides focusing on what some people would consider the main event. So if I move to the actual, when we actually get together, so this is such a precious time because my sons all live in different places, and it's really difficult to ever get three of them together. But two of them will be there, and that is really, I'm so happy for that. And my sister and her son will be there, and we're getting older. It's so precious, the time we get to be with each other. And also, there will be some people that I don't know, and so there's great anticipation. But at the same time, I'm like a butterfly. I don't exactly know what to do. So I flit from person to person. I may be worried about my grandchildren. Are they behaving themselves? Or are they running around? And I have to say, wait a minute. That's not your job. That's not your job. They have parents here. Let the parents deal with it. They have an uncle here. They can deal with it. This is not my thing. But it's the way that I am. So I just have to be really aware of what's going on, because the other part of that fear is then trying to control and trying to call up. If I don't recognize the fear, oh, I want to be sure that my sons have a harmonious relationship. I have no way of dealing with that now. But with fear comes the need to try to control things, which is, of course, not a good place for me to be with emotional sobriety. Yesterday, on one of our meetings, somebody referenced page 68 of the Big Book, so I looked it up. And it's just such a good reminder. And it said, fear somehow touches about every aspect of our lives. It was an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. It set in motion trains of circumstances. I hear that. That really resonates for me. And I need to be aware. In fact, my sponsor is helping me because she suggested that I do a four-step just around fear. So that's the other thing that I'm doing. And to ask higher power to remove my fear, and as been said, allow me to be of service to those around me. Then we have Friday. I said this is a five-day holiday for me. And on Friday, one of my husband's cousins invited us over. We haven't seen her in really a long time. So, and it's for brunch. And I thought, how do I want to handle this? So I just emailed her and I said, you know, you're a diplomat, so you're used to dealing with a lot of sundry people, and I'm one of them. Is it okay if I bring my own food? And of course she responded, yes. And it, for me, bringing my own food is much easier than trying to negotiate what's going to be there, in part because it's weighed and measured, and it's a boundary. And I need boundaries, and sometimes the edges of a Tupperware container are my boundary. I joke around sometimes with my sponsee that we need a prayer for the opening of the Tupperware, but yeah. So I will be flitting around, alighting on my sons, my grandchildren, strangers, cousins, in-laws, and trying to be cognizant of my boundaries. About, I think it was yesterday or the day before yesterday, I had a voicemail. It was such a lovely voicemail. I want to share it with you because I've been trying to practice it now. And I want to be really aware of it on this trip. And the person at the other end said, I want to be dedicated and willing to show up and do the work. And one of the ways to do that is to practice mindfulness, to be in the moment, and release expectations. And around the food, the prayer that she mentioned to me was to focus on the particular food and the sunlight that was used to create that food. And the focus that, all that nourishment I am about to take into my body. And it took so long for whatever that growing thing was to harness the energy, and that each bite can be a moment of thanksgiving and celebrating.
5 minutes, Elaine.
Thanks, Belinda. And celebrating that life that comes into me and the life that I live. And I am just hoping that I can keep it in my hands and in my to just be so grateful that whatever the bounty is, that is the result someone else's hard work. And it's the result of the sun, the rain, all of that. And the opportunity to be with my children, to be with my sister, to be with my nephews, to be with people I don't know very well, to be of service to someone who's declining in their older years, to be able to connect with relatives that are in my husband's side of the family, and be present for them. That's really what I need to focus on before I get back on that plane and have to figure out How am I going to get from Eastern time to Pacific time? So this is Elaine in Portland, and Jan has my phone number. I may not be able to stay to the end of the meeting. Thank you so much, Jan, for asking me to share, and I look forward to hearing the other speakers. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Elaine, and have a safe travel. All right, our next speaker is Lynn D.
Okay, well, my name is Lynn, and I have recommitted abstinence since July 4th, 2016, with a 65-pound weight release, and I've been maintaining that weight release for over 13 years. And I appreciate being asked to talk about getting through the holidays abstinently. I'm sorry I was a little late. I was working. People say, oh, what are you doing working on Sunday? And I said, you know, it's just another day. I just had to do it, which is kind of like the same way I look at getting through the holidays abstinently. It's just another day, but there are things that I can do that can make it so that it's easier to get through the holidays abstinently, and that can protect my abstinence. I remember the first set of holidays that I got through abstinently, and the first one was Halloween, and I just gave out, I think I gave out pennies. I gave out money. The kids loved it. That way I didn't have to have that sugar in my house. And then the next holiday that I got through abstinently was Thanksgiving. So I just made sure that there was going to be enough vegetables for me to have, and that the food that was being served that wasn't abstinent wasn't mine, so I didn't eat it. And I think that in the beginning, it's easier to remember that's not my food. I'm doing something differently, good for myself, that I don't need that, and I'm here to enjoy the people I'm with. And then the next holiday I got through abstinently was Hanukkah. And I just appreciated the people that I was celebrating with and the religious meaning of the holiday. And again, that's not my food. I don't eat it. So when I went to a party and they were serving fried food, I just made sure that I had my regular abstinent meal with me, and that's what I ate, but I still enjoyed the people that I was with. And it's real important for me to always know that, you know, when it's my meal time that I can eat my abstinent meal. So sometimes that means I call wherever I'm going to be to make sure that they're going to have enough food for me to eat. And other times that means I'm just going to be bringing my whole meal with me instead of eating whatever's being served. And so I try to remember the four P's: plan, prepare, protect, and pray. And one of the other things that's also always helped me through the holidays abstinently is that I always have my scale when I walk into my parents' house. They actually have a scale in the garage for me, and I take it out, make sure there's batteries. If there aren't batteries, I don't go, oh, well, there are no batteries, I can't weigh and we'll measure my food. I go out to the nearest CVS and pick up a battery so that I can weigh my food. And I do that because of being in my parents' house makes me hungry. And so I don't eyeball my measurements. I measure my proteins and I measure my vegetables. I measure my grains. And that way I know that I got exactly what I was supposed to have. Not too much, not too little, but just the exact right amount. And the other thing that helps me get through the holidays abstinently is to always do a gratitude list. Every night before I go to bed at night, I say my prayers, and then I do a gratitude list. And I thank God for all the things that I have an abundance of, and that keeping my eye on what I'm grateful for keeps my eyes off other people's plates. And if I have to say prayers at meals because other people are eating food that we don't eat, then I'll say prayers at meals. Everyone doesn't need to know that I'm praying, but that I keep that in my head and in my heart so that I always remember to bring God along with me to any kind of slippery places so that I know that I planned, I prepared, I protect, and I pray. Those are the big four P's that I think can help anyone get through the holidays abstinently. And I remember getting through my first set of holidays, and I'm still on the weight loss part of the program, and I got through the holidays, and when I weighed after 30 days, I had lost weight. And everyone else I knew around me was complaining about how much weight they had gained during the holidays. And it was such a big revelation to me that you can stay on this program and you can lose weight even through the holidays. And today, when I weigh, I know that I haven't gained weight during the holidays because I stayed on my program. And to me, that makes me feel safe. And besides being happy with my body the way it is today, I also feel happy that I feel safe in this program works no matter what, as long as I'm willing to write it down, commit it to my sponsor and my higher power, and eat what I committed. So I want to thank everyone for listening, and I don't know what I do next. Jan.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much, Lynn.
Thank you for asking me to speak.
Mm-hmm. And our next speaker will be Lola.
Hi, Dan. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Oh, wonderful. Great. Okay. So my name's Lola, and I was born and raised in Southern California. I'm living in a city called Whittier, out here in the suburbs of Los Angeles, and I've been abstinent for 13 years, and I've given away 74 pounds on the food inventory and step sponsor. And I wanted to start by telling you a story. This lady named Lola that used to act on impulse. I had fears and worried about everything. I relied on the power of self-will. And I believed that that power was everything. And then one day, Lola came to believe that she had an illness and that a higher power could help her manage her life and bring some much-needed sanity into it. So what do I do? It's been said over and over again, and I hope this is just another repetition that it sinks, that it's prayer. I do three very big things, and that's not just the holidays, of course. It's another day. I pray, I check my motive, and I write positive affirmations. Those are the three things that I always do from day one. So in prepping for this workshop, I was asked, I asked myself, what are these three things that I do normally? And I, about besides just the workshop itself, this is life in general, not just food, right? So I asked myself, what brought me to this gathering? What was my motive? Is what I'm doing helping me today? And where am I in my journey? And so I keep my program's pretty simple and practical. I work in the transportation field, which my job is to get something from point A to point B with the least amount of hiccups. So I have to plan and prepare. So my plan today is I must pause and check my motives after I pray. So if I've asked for God for today to take me on the direction that he needs me and to put me where he needs me, not where I want to be, and if I'm not, if my motives are not feeling there in conjunction with that purpose of what God wants, then I need to check and see why I'm going against the current. I still believe that this higher power of mine will get me to that place regardless of whether I'm going to help him or not, but it's not going to be without any bumps along the road. So it's either I do it with freedom, or I can do it in a different way that might be painful, but I'll still get there. And that's why I believe everybody's story is different. So our literature states that we must be willing to change our psyche. And so am I willing to change my thought process in order to change my attitude and how I feel? So in the realm of being thankful today, I was reading on page 37 from his Dulcisa, and this is a full and a thankful heart. And one exercise that I practice is to try for a full inventory of my blessings and then for right acceptance of the many gifts that are mine, both temporal and spiritual. Here I try to achieve a state of joyful gratitude. When such a brand of gratitude is repeatedly affirmed and pondered, it can finally displace the natural tendency to congratulate myself on whatever progress I have made, been enabled to make in such areas of living. I try hard to hold fast to the truth that a full and thankful heart cannot entertain great conceits. When brimming with gratitude, one's heartbeat must surely result in outgoing love, the finest emotion that we can ever know. And that's when I'd say my motive. Is my motive out of gratitude? Is it brimming my heart with outgoing love? Or am I fearful? So my question to you today is, are you on this phone bridge listening to this, how do I get through the holidays, because I'm scared, I'm not looking forward to it, I'm worried about it? Or am I here because I'm thankful and I was asked to speak and I said, you know what, I am grateful, I will give back. Yes, I'll be there. Of course I'll be there. I know, because I tested this over and over again, that if I do this, it'll just be another holiday. So, again, in staying in the theme of practicality and simplicity, I know, and I know Suzanne mentioned it, that we have two different angles to this vicious disease, right? It's going to attack me in different ways. So I like to see the process of holidays in my life, and as how I have paused to see this is my first abstinent holiday. And as people may say, we were tender and green, high on the pink cloud of abstinence. And it revolves a lot around my physical recovery and buying cookbooks to do alternative of what I could have. It was the same meal they were eating, but my quote-unquote abstinent version of it. But I had to learn to put the food down. And I remember making lots of calls and doing extra everything, right? Which still applies today. That does still work. And then my second holiday came around a year later, and a little recovery goes a long way, right? So by this time, I was working my steps, all of them, and sponsoring, which is crucial. And then by the third holiday came around, which it is just for today, but if we plan, as we had our discussion earlier, we have to know that there are crowded places everywhere. You better shop for your food early. Be prepared to stop along the road if you're traveling and take care of yourself, all of that. And then by then, it's working the maintenance steps, which was feeding my spiritual realm. So in the first was my physical, second emotional, and now by now I'm hoping I'm working on a spiritual growth. And I'm learning that meditation and prayer are part of who I am now. It's not just something I picked up as a tool in the first 30 days. And let me read you a little bit on page 42 of As Bill Sees It. When we talk about this, this first set of relying on self-will and why we can't white-knuckle our way through the holiday, just as any day. When first challenged to admit defeat, most of us revolted. We had a poached day, expecting to be taught self-confidence. Then we had been told that so far as alcohol was concerned, self-confidence was no good whatever. In fact, it was a total liability. There was no such thing as personal conquest of alcoholic compulsion by the unmediate blue. So it is when we try to make our will conform with God's that we'll begin to see it rightly to all of us. This was the most wonderful revelation. Our whole trouble had been the misuse of willpower. We had tried to bombard our problems with it instead of attempting to bring it into agreement with God's intention for us. To make this increasingly possible, it is the purpose of AA's 12 steps. So You think you're still doing it on your own, there's going to be trouble. And yeah, you will. I would be afraid too. And there's no need to be, because I know today that there is a higher power and that's available to anyone in our understanding of it, that there's not necessary to fight this. You do not have to live with white-knuckling this illness. It is a sweet surrender, but we have to put the food down. Famous words of our beautiful co-founder, Ray, we used to say, you're more important than the food, and I hope you remember that as we sit with your meal now, with your friends and family today, and on the holiday. And on the second part where we talk about our emotional part of our illness, and I went again on page 210, and I read about that, and it was out of bondage that at step three, I pray this when I'm feeling like I'm spiritually slipping. On step three, many of us said to our Maker, as we understood him, and I'll repeat that. God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me, to do with me as thy will, to relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties. And this is a prayer, that my transcendence over them may bear witness to those that would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. We thought well before taking the step, making sure we were ready. Then we could commence to abandon ourselves utterly to God. And when the sponsor says all the right things and everything's right, it's usually because we're willing to listen and to do and go to any means. When the sponsor says everything wrong, and God forbid they ask us to write our steps and and our tools daily, they're doing everything wrong because I'm not willing, and I must release that to a higher power. And then on the level of spirituality, page 306 from As Bill Sees It, put that in perspective for me, is happiness the goal? I don't think happiness or unhappiness is the point. How we do meet the problem is how we face it. How do we best learn from them and transmit what we have learned to others? If they would receive the knowledge. In my view, we of this world are pupils in a great school of life. It is intended that we try to grow and that we try to help our fellow travelers to grow in the kind of love that makes no demands. In short, we try to move forward toward the image and likeness of God as we understand him. When pain comes, we are expected to learn from it willingly and help others to learn. When happiness comes, we accept it as a gift and thank God for it. So I understand as well that sometimes, and I'm going through it with some of my sponsors today, the holidays are not a happy time, and this is the time when they're remembering their past loves, people who have gone on to another place, and it is very, very scary for them and very sad. So in that sense, I understand that not for everyone, these holidays are something to look forward to. So, to keep that in the compassion of, okay, well, how do I fix it? How do I change the psyche, and how do I change my way of thinking? So I do my favorite tool. This is the third thing I do, and it helps me so, so much. It's to write affirmations. And I'll quickly go through them because I don't want to run out of time. But so I'm going to read you something that I remember from a workshop I did long ago, and it says, watch your thoughts because they become your words. Watch your words because they become your actions. Watch your actions because they become your habits. And watch your habits because they become your character. Watch your character because it becomes your destiny. So before I pray, before I call, before I write, there's always that first thought of pausing and thinking, how do I do this? So I can tell you what I do to write these affirmations. And I'm going to give you an example of one as well. So it's number one, how do I do this? It's keep it about me. It's start affirmations with I am. So I stay in the right now, in the moment, to be present. Affirm what I want, not what I don't. Keep it simple. Be specific. Use action words like those ending with ing. And include an emotion or feeling so I can own it. So one example is if I am going through some records in my head or the committee's talking upstairs or something negative pops in, I immediately, first thought that comes to mind, I'm not responsible for it, but I am the second. So an example of that would be if I want to write an affirmation, I don't say, I will serve my friends and family and not focus on the food. Rather, I will say, I am joyfully serving my friends and family by showing my love with hugs and kisses and kind words for them. Another example is, I will sit with my dad instead of eat compulsively. A positive affirmation changes it and says, I am enjoying my quiet time with my dad, sitting on the couch and holding his fragile hand. And I hope that this reaches you and that this is practical. I'm going to tell you that I'm going to eat mostly, probably 100%, it's not there yet, but I will probably plan on having the same thing I have every day. I'm going to take frozen meals, which is what I do every day of the week, and just one day at a time, I remove them from the freezer, I put them on the bottom, and I take them to work. I take my lunch and dinner to work, and there's no reason why I can't do the same thing on that day. So when I know I've come around, it's when I first started, is my first absent holiday, my second absent holiday, and by the third came around, there's a holiday. So I want that for you too. It's freedom. And by getting there, it's all in the head. It's 99% of our thinking. It's 99% of our illness. And we can do this. We can do this one day at a time if we apply to what we have been told. The facts and knowledge won't avail us unless I want to be realistic and stop the thought process of the negative thinking. And thank you for letting me be of service today and sharing some of what I do on these holidays. Thanks.
Thank you, Lola. I want to thank everyone who has shared their experience, strength, and hope. And it's been really, really amazing. I'm going to bring up the kind of try to add a few thoughts of my own. I'm Jan, compulsive eater, and I have been doing this program for low on over 15 years. And I've been abstinent through 15 sets of holidays. I can remember in the beginning, I was, someone must have told me, because I don't know, or my higher power was there from day one, I know that, but reminding me that it's about the people, it's not about the food. For many years, Thanksgiving and Christmas were centered around my grandma's house. You know, that was my house. Let's go to mom and dad's. Let's go to grandma's. And that was where everybody ended up. And my disease, various areas of my disease, had me feeling responsible to make sure that everyone had wonderful holidays, that they had the best of everything they had been. And it was reflecting from my life previous to see how I hadn't gotten away from the idea that it was about the food, and I need to give them the food they wanted to make them happy. And this lasted for several years after I was in recovery, but it got worse and worse as far as my own expectations of myself. And finally, about 6 or 7 years ago, I said, enough. My higher power just kind of, every once in a while, he has to hit me over the head with a 2x4 and say, Jan, take a look at this. And that was the point at which I decided, you guys can make your own holidays, and I'll just come and share them with you. And that was quite a turning point. It was no longer feeling responsible for someone else's happiness. It was taking care of me totally. And what I ended up doing is always making sure that I took my own food. And I know a lot of what I'm saying you've already heard several times today. And I can't hear it enough. But it was being prepared. And when I traveled to my kids, Mom, where's your cooler? They know I'm coming prepared. What happens now in my house, for the past several years, my kids still want to have their holidays here. But what they've started doing is bringing the holiday to my house. They want to be in the house with everybody else. And then I found out, hey, maybe it's not just about me. You know, they want to be together. They want to be part of the holiday. And they're having even more, much more fun doing it themselves. And I just sit back and I enjoy their company. They bring their own food. They prepare their own food. They decorate the house. They take it down before they leave, and they take all the leftovers. It's such a joy to be around my family now. Even with the past year has been quite remarkable and eventful, and not necessarily in a positive way. I now have one of my adult children living with me. His family was here, his wife and two children, but that didn't work out. Because of the dysfunction that goes on in families and the family dynamics, and people just don't always get along. So this Christmas will be much quieter than last Christmas, and but it'll still be my other children coming and sharing their holidays with us. As far as food goes, I do what I do. Today is just another day. I've actually changed my way of eating, the food choices that I make. I've become vegetarian, and so that's even easier to plan because I eat different things, and it's not a problem. I always stay prepared. I take care of myself first, and everybody else will take care of their needs. I heard affirmations being talked about, and I've created and developed and adopted several affirmations that I live by today. This past year, the big one is life's in session and God's in charge. That kind of came to me this year with the happenings in my home. And I still, that just says it all. Life is in session, and it's going to happen. Life is going to happen around me, but my life is in God's hands. Another one that I've learned over the years, and this had to do also with my family, have no expectations. I found through work, working closely with my sponsor and with others in the program, if I have expectations, I'm surely going to be disappointed because I expect things, and I can't do that. I just have learned in making this a positive thing, I have no expectations, so I enjoy whatever positive, wonderful things happen. If people say wonderful things to me, or if they just, if I see them having success, or I feel that see them being happy, I am happy for them. And I know I'm not responsible for that, and so I don't have to feel badly if they don't have good feelings. So the next thing is I always have a choice. And this is something that I've found really helps me, and I share this with others about choices. I hear people say, especially new to the program, well, you know, I go out and I can't have that. Oh, you can have it. You wouldn't be abstinent, but you could have it. And not being sarcastic or facetious with that, you know, it is a choice. I have a choice. I become accountable for what I do and how I do it. And the choices that I make are mine. I'm given this wonderful food plan with so many choices, and I have those choices. It does give me a guide as to how much of these choices I can have, and the fact that I need to do this. This is a must. I must follow my food plan. I must weigh and measure. I must do my tools. But the choices of the foods that I choose and how I prepare them, as long as it follows the guidelines in the Forever Abstinent, I pretty much have those choices, and that's wonderful. And I choose not to eat sugar and flour because I want to be abstinent. I never knew what phrase, I heard it early in program and didn't quite understand it. that food could never taste as good as abstinence feels. I know today what abstinence feels like, and there is no holiday celebration, no holiday food that could ever replace that. Today, if I another affirmation or saying or whatever, if I feel I need more food, I need more God. And so I keep my higher power in my life. I keep an active conscious contact with my higher power. I'm going to wrap this up with trading old traditions for new ones. And the old traditions were all about food. The old traditions, for me as a mother, as a grandmother, I was always cooking for them, making their favorite treats and making this and making that. And today, I've chosen, there is one treat that I make for the kids, which I don't eat anyhow, and that's okay. They'd make it for themselves, but I choose to do that. But my treats for them are to be here, to help guide them, to be here when they need me, and that's how I can be part of their lives. And finally, I'd like to read in the Forever Abstinent book. It's on this is from the previous version. This is not from the brand new one, so I don't know if the page number is accurate. But it is section 2, the WSO policy letter on food questions. And in this version that I have, it's on page 12. It's the last paragraph of the letter. And what it says is, we are responsible for our own abstinence and for our own recovery. Our abstinence is between us, our sponsor, the forever abstinent, and the maintenance plan based on forever abstinent, and our higher power. Our recovery is a mutual gift between us and our higher power. And feeling that, you know, it's important that we have our sponsor, keep close contact with our sponsors. And if perchance over the holidays, if your sponsor is not available, it's up to us as sponsors to assist, if necessary, our sponsees to have someone to rely on during our abstinence. Occasionally that does happen. And that's actually where I am right now. My sponsor said, problems happen, life happens. And so I was able to find someone to be my temporary sponsor for 4 days, and that's great. And that's how I take care of myself. And I will just take it one day at a time and continue in this wonderful, wonderful fellowship abstinently with God's grace. I want to thank everyone for allowing all of the speakers to share. And now it is time for, we're going to have a question and answer session. And we have lots of time for that, questions and answers. And also, we can include three-minute time shares from those listening to the to this workshop. You are muted, but you can unmute by pressing the star and 6 keys on your phone when you're asking your question or sharing. And please make sure when you're done sharing that you mute yourself again by pressing the star and 6 keys on your phone. And Belinda, our timer, will time us for three-minute time shares. She'll let you know when 1 minute is left, and then when your time is up, and please wrap up at that point. So, and again, we'll not be including phone numbers in this part. After the recording has terminated, then we'll stay on for more fellowship and time to share phone numbers. Okay, I'm going to open this up to anyone who has a question.
Jan, this is Suzanne. I'm going to be on for a few minutes, but also anyone can ask a question. There's no absence requirement because it's a workshop. I can be here for a few minutes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for reminding me of that. That's great. Anyone can ask a question. Okay. Do we have any questions? Or do we? Go ahead. Did I hear someone come on?
Jan, can I share or is it just questions?
No, it's also sharing, 3-minute time shares.
Okay, all right. Hi, my name is Sheila B., and I'm a compulsive overeater and a carbohydrate addict. And listening to all that has been shared today, I totally agree that we are individuals and we have individual programs, and I think we need sometimes to hear the different things that are out there for us with our program. And the only thing I really just kept coming in my head was, I am responsible for me. Because nobody else puts the food in my mouth. Only I do. So I have to have that responsibility, and thank God with my higher power, which I call God, one day at a time, I ask him to arrest my disease. And that's all I can say, and I thank him for that too. And that to me is just every day, and every day is a new day. I believe I only have today. You never know what tomorrow is going to bring. There's no guarantees. And this is only I speak for myself. And I just feel that, you know, that I make sure, and it sounds like everybody is saying that too, I make sure that I have my drug of choice, unfortunately, which is food. And I have to deal with every day. And I make sure I have what I have that I need. And then, like you say, what other people bring, that's fine. I know I don't partake in it. That's my choice. But I make sure that I have what I need and what I enjoy. Because to me, this is a drug. I need to enjoy my drug. And food is my drug. And for every day of my life. And the other thing I think I kind of sometimes comes in my mind, too, is that, you know, you listen and you see different things that people make and all that. And, you know, been there, done that. For me, I've been here, done that. I've had it all. When I wasn't abstinent, you know? So is it something so different that, oh, I would love to have that? No. No, it's not. It's not, you know? So I'm just, like I say, my thing is just, for me, is to live in the day, do what I have to do. Thank you. Do what I have to do to take care of myself. It's only one meal. It's not the whole day. It's one meal out of that day. And it's just another day. It's just another day. But we get to enjoy maybe some of our family, like you say, and some of our friends or whatever, you know, wherever you're going or whatever you're doing. But, you know, enjoy. And that to me is important, to enjoy people and have some laughs and talk about wonderful things. I always have everybody go around the table saying, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? You know, or gratitude or whatever. You know, and so I'm just grateful that just for today I have a program. And it's all up to me. Every single day I make the choice. Do I take care of myself and arrest this disease, or do I want to get out there and then I know I'm in never ever land in the desert wandering. And the most miserable person that you probably ever want to meet. So I thank God just for today. I'm abstinent. I have a higher power in my life. I have the fellowship. I have everything's there. The blueprint's all there. It's up to me to walk the walk. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Sheila. And who else? Does someone else like to share or have a question?
Hi, I'm Molly, compulsive eater.
Okay. Hi, Molly.
Jan.
Hi there. I think you said Jan. Thank you so much
Yes.
for your coordination of this opportunity. I am Molly, compulsive eater, food addict, and I really appreciate, with much gratitude, being a part of this program and really got to hear, you know, they say repetition is the mother of kindness, and I need repetition every day, and this morning I got reminded exactly what I heard in one of the speakers earlier when I chimed in was, you know, I'm on my way, I'm out of town looking for a location of a friend's birthday party. And, you know, they put out a big brunch menu, which I didn't look at. I mean, I'm not, and she reminded me, you're there to be a part of and to acknowledge and honor that person. That's exactly why I'm going. This person has had probably at least 5 parties antecedent to them. I've never gone to any of them with whatever excuse. And I thought, you know, I need to honor her just for various reasons. Her son committed suicide. I was in her wedding. And it's the only wedding in my life I was in, you know, so that was just a couple of years ago. She got remarried. But anyway, I thought, you know, just be a part of. And I have family as I'm out of town visiting. So, you know, I'm going super late, but to me, my motives are clear. Just realizing my limits with food that I choose, and thank God. Sometimes during my absence, I have not chosen my limits, meaning that I want more and I've had more of abstinent food. But I need limits, and I'm really grateful for the limits that give me boundaries of what I can do, what I can eat, what to say, what's appropriate in terms of how the spiritual principles guide me. So I'm hearing exactly what I need to hear, and I've forgotten about this special day of having this opportunity. And so God's timing is truly received with much gratitude, and it just helps me to put myself in that place of humility and gratitude, because in that there's freedom. As I said earlier today, I was saying no to a couple opportunities that came up, and in the moment I wanted to take back those no's, and there were work opportunities. And I am so grateful now, being on the other side and getting through that discomfort, that no was the right thing to say. But I could not get that until I actually said no. So
1 minute.
With that, thank you for that. I am just grateful to be here. And with that, I'll pass it to the next person. Thank you.
Thank you, Molly. Is there anyone else that would like to share? Press *6 to unmute.
This is Loretta from Ohio. I'd like to share.
Okay, I heard 2 folks. Loretta, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you. Thank you very much for yourself, Suzanne, and the timekeeper, for your service in putting this on, and everybody who spoke today. I fell asleep to part of it, but I kind of figured I would, but it's okay, I got a lot of it. One of the things I really like to be reminded of is that my absence is not contingent on my sponsor, or my sponsor being there at the moment that I might need her. My true absence is between myself and God. And I do need my sponsor to work with on a regular basis. But, you know, this is the holidays, and some people are with family. I know that it doesn't work for me to have my phone on and answering the phone when I'm with my family. It makes them mad. So I, out of respect to them, I'm not going to be doing that. And I will tell my sponsees that. But, yeah, that the strength, the actual abstinence itself, the ability to be abstinent, does come from a higher power. And yes, of course, I need a human being to check in with every day to make sure that I'm not just living in my head with, oh, this is a good food choice, or this is a good idea, and, you know, I need that sponsor. But my absence doesn't come from my sponsor, is what I'm trying to say. And I really like to be reminded, nobody ever threw me down on the ground and poured food down my throat. That's very good stuff to be reminded of, that food doesn't have any power unless I give it power. And one of the ways I don't give it power is to work this program to the best of my ability. And on Thanksgiving Day, as well as Christmas Day, as well as New Year's Day, and all the days after and before. So thank you very much. I really enjoyed this workshop.
Thanks, Loretta. And who is the other person that wanted to share?
Good morning. This is Stacy, a compulsive eater, and I too want to say thank you for having this workshop. I heard about it yesterday, and I thought to myself, oh my goodness, I have to make sure I tune in and listen, because that was just my anxiousness that I was feeling, because I'm going to go visit my family. The best I could do was, just get on my knees and turn it over and thank my higher power that I only made it for 3 days. You know, I'm only going to be there for 3 days. I just packed my scale. I was listening during my walk, and I heard somebody mention bringing their scale. I don't know if I'm going to be able to weigh and measure, to be honest. I just am not sure, but because I'm going to be at my mercy I'm going to be at the mercy of my family. They'll, you know, I'll be in their home. And I don't know. I won't have transportation, this type of thing. So the bottom line is I'll be turning to my higher power every moment, reminding myself every moment that I am powerless and I am to be as he wants me to be, you know. And I could always, you know, change my thought. I'm not powerless over my thought, you know. The first thought maybe, but not the second one. So, and I will have a cell phone. I've been looking for my power charger, portable power charger for my cell phone. I don't know where that is. So I may not even be able to. I'll be leaving in a day or two, and I have no car. I can't get one. So I'll just have to just really wing a lot of things. But I am planning ahead. I'm all prayed up, and I'm really ready to have a good time, you know, and to be of service if I can. And I just wanted to say thank you all for having this workshop. My name is Stacy, Compulsive Eater. I don't know if I'm supposed to leave my phone number or whatever, but
no,
I just wanted to say
no,
thank you. Okay, very good.
Thank you. Okay, who else would like to share?
Hi, this is Laura, Compulsive Eater in Albuquerque.
Okay, who came in after Laura?
That was Susan from Seattle. I'll come next.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone, for this dynamic blueprint for an attitude adjustment for me to get through this holiday. I was absent last year, but I have slipped a couple of times this year, and I don't feel like I have the same footing that I had last year. And so I'm really, really eager to I feel like I want to be like an Olympic trainer who has to train before the Olympic event. And I think that these holidays coming up is the Olympic food event for me. Everywhere, not just those specific holidays. It's just our country, our society's way of celebrating this holiday, and most people enjoy it. For me, it is the death of my spirituality. I know that if I'm not Olympically training for this, that food will appear as innocent. That food, I will see everyone else. I will look around and see that, well, they can do it, so can I. And I have a tendency to have amnesia, that I am not like others, and that is not an innocent bite. They're going to be able to take those bites and go on, and they won't have this big gaping hole in their gut, and that they've pushed, I would have pushed my higher power out of there. And the CEA Howe principles and the humble way I approach life to food is the answer. Food is my God. This is my purpose. And it's frightening. Because I do know. And so for me, what I got out of all the speakers today is how to go and what is my Olympic training. And, you know, I love the plan, prepare, protect, and pray. That's going up on the kitchen cabinet. I'm taping that one up. And the other one was, if I feel I need more food, I need more God. Thank you. Thank you. Because, you know, when I'm solid in my abstinence, food is just the necessary fuel, you know, for this human body. And when I think I need more food, then I'm off. I'm off my center. And, you know, I think I want to, you know, not just absolutely do my tools, but I think I want to write maybe like a daily, what's the difference between an abstinent holiday and other holidays? What's the difference? What were my other holidays like? Towards the end of my disease, and what can these holidays be like? Because I have had abstinent holidays, and not just what am I grateful for, but what has CEA Howe given me, and what has CEA Howe removed from me? And yes, it's all about my perceptions, about my attitude, and that is so detrimental, because I can be a whiny little kid. Well, how come she gets to have that? Well, her piece is bigger. Well, why not? And all of those questions are the key that opens the door back into my insanity. And I want to really be able to look at what I do have, not what I don't have, what I do get to celebrate, not what are they celebrating with. And it's going to take everything that God has given me, Howe has given me, the tools have given me, and if I don't do those, then my Olympic training is missing some fundamental parts, and I won't be successful. But I know that when January comes and I've been abstinent, man, there's a woohoo! It's like, whew, I made it, I went through the gauntlet. Thank you. I get the gauntlet when I'm not centered, and I really appreciate this this workshop. Thank you, thank you, thank you. This is Laura, compulsive eater in Albuquerque. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Go ahead, Susan.
Yeah, I'm Susan from Seattle. I'm a compulsive eater, and there was a gentleman who used to be in the original program out here who used to drive a beer truck, a local brand, and he was asked how he could, you know, drive this and then not drink, and he said, well, the garbage collector doesn't, you know, stuff himself from the stuff in the back there. For me, I get very self-conscious and think that the holidays are somehow, I judge my family as being judgmental, which is, I know, one of those twisted things here. And when in fact, you know, it's all about, you know, we're having, we now have little people in the family now. So I have a great niece and two great nephews, and that's, of course, part of the enjoyment of the holidays. And then my eldest nephew just announced that he was engaged. So, you know, we got more and more people to love. And that's a good thing, to have more people to love and to be part of that. There's somewhere in the book, I can't remember exactly where, but, if it's an occasion when other people drink, or in our case, you assume, but anyway, go or don't go, depending on, you know, how you feel about it. If it's a work deal, attend to your work, properly. And then if it's a social occasion, try to add to the
1 minute.
Thank you. Try to add to the occasion. Be there for the other folks. And I'll tell you. The pathological self-absorption that I've had over the years has been, you know, I mean, that is my disease. And anyway, any steps away from that towards recovery, I believe God honors. Anyway, I really thank you folks for the workshop. Thank you. This is Susan in Seattle.
Thank you, Susan. And who else would like to share? We still have time for a few more.
My name's Jennifer, compulsive eater.
Go ahead, Jennifer.
Thank you, everybody, for having this workshop. And I just wanted to tell a story of what happened to me last Christmas. I have about almost 4 years in program with 174 days of recommitted abstinence. And I've been doing this program for a little bit, but not very long when it comes to people that I don't spend a lot of time with. Like, there's some family members that I only see once a year, and that's during the holidays. And last Christmas, I brought my abstinent food, and I brought my scale so that if they did have something, I could trade out, and then I would text my sponsor my differences of different things. And I tried to discreetly weigh my food. And in doing that, I had one of my family members who I don't really know very well or see very often. She was very, inquisitive about how I've lost the weight and what I'm doing in my program. And I was really happy to tell her a little bit about it while I was weighing my food. And as I took one tiny thing off, because I was 1/8 over on a vegetable, she looked at what I'd done and she started laughing at me. Like, outright, out loud, belly roll, laughing at me. And I did not know how to handle that. I was in shock at this woman, and I was angry, and I said, well, it works for me. And that was the end of my conversation with her. And I went outside, and I remember calling my sponsor, and I remember talking to my husband,
and I was like,
thank you so much. She told, well, when that lady was laughing at me, she told me how ridiculous I was. And, people who aren't in this program, they can't get it. There's just no way for them to know what we go through, what we've been through, what it took for us to get here. And my husband and my sponsor had to remind me of that, man. It was fighting words. I mean, that lady literally laughed at me as if my food and my life and I was some joke. And they had to bring it back to my attention that they just don't know. And I had to have compassion for her and what she's going through. She may or may not need a program, but that's none of my business. And really, my food is none of her business. And I got to eat abstinently, and I got to spend time with my family, and I got to be a part of, instead of being completely and utterly obsessed with what was happening with the food around me. So I'm so grateful for this program. I'm so grateful that I have you guys to turn to when I get angry, scared, lonely, tired. So anyway, thank you. My name's Jennifer, compulsive eater in Portland, Oregon. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Jennifer. And would someone else like to share?
I'd like to share.
Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Susie, and I'm a compulsive eater. Have to admit that I didn't listen to the whole workshop because I was at a face-to-face meeting, but the minute I got into the car, I heard Jan's beautiful, beautiful share, and I've been on ever since, and now I'm at home. I just wanted to share that last year at Thanksgiving, I weighed 14 pounds more than I weigh today, which I'm at my goal weight. And 14 pounds on me may not sound like a lot to people, but I'm a tiny person, and it's like 30 on a tall, bigger bone person. So anyway, I was in a relapse. And it was a 1.5 year relapse. And when I eat, it's binge eating. I don't have slips. It was either binge eating or just having my abstinent, thank God, because I don't leave the rooms. I do get abstinent days. So even if you're in the worst relapse, if you stay, you will get days that are abstinent. But if you're out there, all bets are off. Anyway, I wanted to share that I was on the Phone Bridge Marathon on Thanksgiving, and I did manage to have an abstinent to Thanksgiving. And can you hear me? Because I've got somebody trying to beep in. Can you still hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, good. Thank you. Anyway, I did go back to eating after Thanksgiving. I think that in the 30 years I've been in Howe, I've had every single holiday abstinent, but then I eat all around it. So it doesn't matter. One bite can lead me to the insane asylum or the casket. So it doesn't matter. But at least I get abstinent, you know, being in here. Anyway, I decided for some reason, I wasn't sure if I could do it, but on November 30th, I woke up. And I was just sick and tired of being sick and tired. Nothing was satisfying me. My husband was disgusted because I was eating all his food. And he says, why don't you get your own? And I would say, but I want everything in the world. You know, I just want everything. So because I can't go and get the whole market, I'll just eat what I find around the house. And I was blaming him. And he said, but
one
all
minute.
The 12 years, thank you. Thank you, Belinda. All the 12 years I had been abstinent. And before that, I had 7 years. I've had lots of years of abstinence, and I've had my, you know, my relapses. He always had the same food in the house. But this is the insanity. This is what we become insane when we're eating. It's not just the weight. And I was saying, oh, but it has to be your fault. Anyway, and I also stopped getting away with it. And he had said, when you stop getting away with it, you'll get your abstinence back. I finally was a borderline diabetic. For years, I would ask the server, is there sugar in this? Because I'm a borderline diabetic. Well, you got to watch what you pray for, whatever, because I became one, and my cholesterol went up over 50 points. Anyway, this Saturday, God willing, and I respect this disease. Believe me, I respect it. I will have a year of abstinence. And it is so much, it's been a wonderful year, even though I've been anxious to make the year. But it is so well worth it. There's just no food that's going to do it for us. There's no Shangri-La food. So thank you for letting me share. I don't know if now that we're not taped, if we're giving telephone numbers. I don't know. I'm in California, and it's a landline. Are we?
No, we're still on. We're still being recorded.
Oh, we are? Oh, I don't know if I even would have shared. Oh, because I was, I hope I didn't ramble. Oh, but thank you so much.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, okay. No, that's okay. I didn't know.
Okay.
Right, but I'm glad that I shared, and I hope I helped somebody. But just don't leave. Please don't leave. I've never seen anybody not get it who keeps on coming. Thank you, Jan. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Susie. We are going to stop the recording now. I want to thank everyone who shared. We're going to stay on the line for more fellowship. So we'll go ahead and stop the recording now.